All right, for everybody who is out in Zoom land, are you able to hear me? Okay, good. I have a thumbs up from Director Paiva. That's fantastic. So with that, we will call to order the Vina Groundwater Sustainability Agency and Rock Creek Reclamation District Joint Board Meeting of August 10th, 2022. Just a quick introduction about the public comment information. There are three ways that the public may comment. You can email to vinagsapublic.comments@chicoca.gov. When submitting public comment by email, please indicate the item number your comment corresponds to in the subject line. Comments submitted will be sent to the GSA board members. At this meeting, emails will just be acknowledged and read into the record by name only. And you may comment verbally by Zoom or by telephone. You may indicate your intent to speak by raising your hand prior to the beginning of the item. Speakers will be called upon by the chair and unmuted by the meeting host. If you're attending by Zoom, please click the raise hand button. If you're attending by telephone, dial *9 to raise your hand. And then after you're called upon, *6 to unmute yourself. Verbal comments will be limited to one comment per item per attendee for no more than 3 minutes unless the board chair specifies a different time limit. And please address your comments to the board chair or board chairs as the case may be. And then as appropriate, we will direct the comments to staff. With that, we will go to item 1.2, which is roll call. Linda Herman, if you please. Raymond, can you hear us or are you unmuted?
I'm here, yes.
Thank you.
Here.
Okay. And 1.3 is the consent agenda. And we have one item on the consent agenda, adoption of a resolution renewing authorization to conduct teleconference meetings for both the Vina GSA Board and Stakeholder Advisory Committee. I'll entertain a motion.
So moved.
Great. I have a motion from Vice Chair Royer. Is there a second?
Second.
And a second from Director Kimmelshue. Thank you. We'll take a roll call vote.
Is Linda calling roll or?
Yeah, Linda's calling roll. Are you able to hear Linda?
Oh. Yeah, that's the problem. I can't hear her. I can hear you fine. I can't hear Linda, but aye.
Could you hear her when she spoke up?
Nope.
Okay, maybe there's some thing about her mic. So Linda was asking for your vote on this. And if you can, you're now muted. If you could unmute yourself, that would be great.
Okay, aye.
Thank you so much. She spoke again, and I guess you couldn't hear her. Okay, we hear you here. Director Paiva, have you heard Linda when she spoke?
No, I haven't.
Okay, there just must be something with her mic. So again, we'll make sure that gets rectified when we do the votes. So I guess you didn't hear Cammy speak either. So there must be an issue that's coming from our staff microphones. So we'll sort that out. Yeah, they'll get to come up here and you'll get to see them on TV and they'll present from up here. So we'll be nice and cozy. I'll conduct the roll call vote, which for the second here, and then because this is, I think, uneventful, and then we'll figure out what to do. So Director Kimmelshue?
Aye.
Vice Chair Royer?
Aye.
And Chair Tuschinski? Aye. So that passes 4-0. We have a closed session announcement from the 8-3-22 Vina GSA special meeting. Were you planning on doing that? Okay, if you could, and maybe can you come up here and share? Actually, it looks like there's a seat on the end here. So that might be the presentation seat. And thank you everybody for your patience with the technical issues. And thank you, Director Kimmelshue, for not using this as a reason to castigate us for this.
Hey, Evan, on my end, it looks like Cammie and maybe Linda are muted because their mic's muted.
Perfect. Thank you so much. All right. And we will now move to item two, which is the Rock Creek Reclamation District portion of our special meeting. And I will turn to my colleague, Chair Crane.
Was that how? I was unable to hear him.
Are you able to hear me, Trustee Levy?
Yeah, I hear you fine, but it's just been silent for a little bit. I haven't heard anything since you got here.
Who's audible?
Okay, for John, I'm in the middle of roll call, so if you're present, signify by saying aye. So, Trustee Levy?
Yeah, I'm here. Yeah, I can hear you now. Yes.
Paiva?
Yeah, I'm here. Oh.
Okay, thank you. Trustee Payne?
Trustee Paiva, do you still hear me?
Yes, I do. You're the only one I can hear. I heard Hal there when he was calling roll at the end, but you're the only one I can hear.
Okay. Okay. All right. I'm going to mute my microphone and we'll see if anybody else is audible.
Trustee Paiva, can you hear me?
Yeah, now I can hear you.
Dan, this is Todd Kimmelshue. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you, Todd.
Okay, so we've determined that for some reason, from me to my right is working and to my left is not working.
Dan, Todd Kimmelshue, can you hear me again?
Yes, I can, Todd.
Dan, can you hear me? This is JP.
Yes, Jay.
Yeah, we have a.
Elvin, will you try yours? We could move. Try yours to Dan, see if it works. No problem. If you've got those working, I mean, we could relocate some. You want to test John, maybe?
Yeah. Yes.
So we've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 confirmed mics working. How do you want to proceed?
We'll work around it. Jim Brobeck, was your hand up because you weren't able to hear the closed session announcement?
Yes, it was.
Okay, great. So I'll repeat the closed session announcement once we figure out here our little strategy. So Christina, if you could just do a quick mic check, just to double check that you were heard.
Check, check, this mic works. You can hear me, Dan?
Yep.
Okay, great. So we're gonna continue the meeting and just use the microphones that work. I will share a microphone with Chair Crane, and if Vice Chair Rice has something to say, we can kind of swap it over a little bit. We have Christina at the end. We have down there, we have a micro, at least one or two microphones that are working. So it looks like we're represented among the people who are present. So so the closed session announcement, I'll just paraphrase. The paraphrase was that we held our meeting on August 3rd in closed session, and out of closed session, no action was taken. Direction was given to council to answer the we called it a judgment, but I believe that it was actually forgive me, I'm no one of our attorneys would know the exact legal term, but she basically gave a decision, I think, was or opinion or decision. So we were required to answer that. We gave our attorney instruction to answer that. So that was the direction that was given to our counsel. So that is a sloppy but nonetheless accurate, I believe, report. So thank you. And with that, we will open for business from the floor, and members of the public may address the Vina and Rock Creek Reclamation District GSA boards at this time on any matter not already listed on the agenda. Comments are limited to 3 minutes. The boards cannot take any action at this meeting on requests made under this section of the agenda. Do we have any requests from the room for speaking? I see none. Do we have any at home? Jim Brobeck, has raised his hand. So Jim, please, 3 minutes.
Yes, I appreciate that you're getting through the technical difficulties there. And I request that the shack meetings also resolve their problems. If anybody's listened to the recording of the meeting, you'll find that a lot of the in-room discussion was completely inaudible. It was just an echo throughout the room as it was recorded through a single computer microphone, I imagine. So it really, we really had a problem communicating with each other during the shack because of that problem, because the people in the room were inaudible to the people in the Zoom format. Thanks for taking my comment, Mr. Chair.
Absolutely. Thank you for relaying that to us. Are there any other comments from the floor? Seeing none, and seeing none acknowledged by our staff, I will move on to item 4, the joint meeting regular agenda. Item 4.1 is consideration of the Vina GSA Stakeholder Advisory Committee's recommendations of specific projects or activities for which a scope of work, budget, and schedule would be developed for future consideration and possible inclusion in a sustainable groundwater management grant program funding application. And I believe that item was written long just so I would have to read a lot of things. Please.
Can I ask a quick question before you start, Christina? And that question is this list that the shack just acted on, is that all we can do, or when can we add new possible tasks or projects?
Projects for consideration.
Yeah, projects for consideration. Thank you.
So I think the action requested action today is for direction on projects you would like to have further developed you know, in consideration of SHAC recommendation, but I don't think it's.
Okay, so when would be appropriate for me to bring up something?
So I'll just give an overview and kind of describe where we've come from and then open it up for your discussion. And
great, thank you, Christina.
So should I dive in?
Please dive in.
Christina Buck with Butte County Department of Water and Resource Conservation and on the BINA GSA Management Committee. So I'll just give a little background on this item and describe what we're here to do today. So this is a reminder, I presented this last time to just introduce this funding opportunity. DWR is administering this grant. The guidelines and proposal solicitation package was released back in December. And these are basically the two documents that describe the funding opportunity, eligibility of applicants, projects, guidelines, and also includes the application itself in terms of what's required to be included in an application. There have been two rounds of grant solicitations under this funding opportunity. The first round was for critically overdrafted basins, and so that has been awarded. We are in round two as a high priority sub-basin. So we expect DWR to open this solicitation in probably late 2022, more likely probably early 2023. So we're just beginning the process of getting ourselves organized in terms of what we want to apply for. Grant awards can be a minimum of $1 million or up to $20 million per basin, and we have to have one application. So that's why we're really here with the joint boards so that we can move forward on this in a coordinated way. So I also just included here, and this is some of the evaluation criteria. So any application, this is a competitive solicitation process. And so they're gonna evaluate the applications based on a number of things and provide points. And so just to have this in the back of our head as we think about what projects we might wanna consider for this funding, it will be evaluated for the project description and whether there's a clear justification for the proposed task. So did we explain why a certain project was chosen over others that are identified in the plan and what benefits we anticipate to be provided, community served, measurable objectives, minimum thresholds, plan implementation timeline, and the feasibility of the project. Description of quantifiable benefits. And then just other information, do we provide a map depicting the location, describe our plan for outreaching and engaging interested parties in the project, potential benefit to underrepresented communities. Also, does it positively impact associated small water systems or private domestic wells? So that's a consideration. How does it address the human right to water? And then does it have, you get points for having a clear and consistent scope of work, budget, and schedule that all line up with each other. So those are just some things to think about as we put together a full project or funding application. The application can include a number of projects that can be implemented by different agencies. So we can really think about this as a package of projects. Okay, so today's requested action is to receive direction from the GSA boards, really just specifying which projects and activities we want to move forward and spend some time and money in developing a more specific work plan, budget, and schedule. As you know, most of these projects are described in the GSP, but the GSP is not specific in terms of exactly what task would be done, what the deliverables would be, and how that would be done. So we just need more details to really be able to describe to the funding agency, what are you gonna do, what the deliverables are, how much money is it gonna cost, and what's the schedule? So that's what needs to be developed for any project that we wanna even consider for this funding opportunity. So to date, what we've done is compile all the projects and management actions that are listed in the GSP, as well as implement other implementation activities and kind of sorted them. And we introduced that to you and to the SHAC last month. And that's what's attachment A, that first table in the meeting materials. And so the gray ones on top are really activities or projects that were either listed as being planned in the GSP or are compliance related SGMA activities or data gaps, things that the GSP said we intended to do. So the rest was really what was the focus of the SHAC's discussion. And they discussed and provided a recommendation on each of those had a good discussion around each of the projects that are listed in attachment B and provided a specific recommendation on each of those projects, whether to move it forward and include it for additional development or whether not to. And then after that discussion with the Shack, I regrouped the projects and activities into kind of these potential projects. So kind of consolidated the list, which hopefully will help our conversation tonight. So this is attachment B, the Shack recommendations. You can see again what their specific recommendation was there in the highlighted orange column and some of the notes. I'll just mention that in general, there's broad, you know, support for quite a few of these projects, at least in terms of developing more information. Let's get an estimate of how much money it would cost to either develop the feasibility study or to implement the project. There was more discussion around some of the water supply and recharge projects, and a common theme that we've heard in the past and again heard as part of this conversation was concerns about legal implications of recharge. And you see that in the notes. Overall, the majority recommended including these projects with the one exception of the groundwater allocation project. And there was a motion to not include it, and that did pass with majority. So from there, like I mentioned in that conversation with the Shack, quite a few of these projects, what we've been talking about really as projects, could be regrouped as tasks or subtasks of a bigger project. And so we can think about, you know, one project maybe being GSP implementation outreach and compliance activities. And that really incorporates potentially as subtasks, the monitoring and reporting requirements that Sigma outlines. So you'll see that those are kind of grouped under that project. One I want to mention too is the interbasin coordination. So that could be a project that has kind of multiple tasks. One is described in the GSP as being the GSP evaluation. We set out to do some of that as we were developing the GSPs with our neighboring subbasins, but quickly realized that that was gonna have to wait. And so now that we have adopted GSPs, there's an opportunity to really do some technical evaluation of those and identify similarities and differences. So that's what that one's about. And then the second one there is, I think there's an interest regionally recognizing that undesirable result number 6, which is the stream depletion and groundwater surface water interaction, is something we're all gonna have to tackle. And we did first pass at it in this GSP, but there's data gaps and it was identified as a data gap. So there's interest, I think, regionally in coordinating on that. So that's listed there as well. And then contour mapping, this is something the Shack discussed. And I think it could fit here in terms of interbasin coordination. It could also fit in 5-year evaluation report or other annual reports. And then the third one there with some other subtasks is addressing the data gaps. And so I've grouped those items together. And then the fourth one is evaluation and implementation of surface water supply and recharge opportunities. These ones were discussed at greater length, I would say, in general by the Shack members, but they all have kind of a similar theme of either developing water supply for agricultural water use or surface water flows or recharge component. And there's some similarities between them in the GSP. So I think what we're suggesting here is that if there's support for all or multiples of these, what we would do is look at what is described in the GSP and then really start to develop projects that make sense, one or more projects, feasibility studies or implementation projects, depending on what is appropriate along those lines. And then 5 through 12, you can see our standalones from there. So I think with that, just where we are and where we're headed. So here we are today in August, joint board meeting, getting direction from you on what to develop further. So then we'll take the next couple of months to do that work with some consultant help, as well as through a public process, through working groups, we can get input from the public, from the Shack and others. And then, you know, in light of that, we'll likely cancel the August Shack meeting, and in lieu of that, have some of these project-specific working groups and perhaps also the September VINA GSA board meeting. So just stay tuned. We'll confirm the upcoming meeting schedule shortly. In October, we would aim to have the shack provide them. Once by October, we would have these more detailed scopes, projects, schedules, and budgets for them to actually evaluate for each of these projects. And then they can really start to discuss, okay, which one should we include and prioritize what the package of projects would be to provide a recommendation to the Vina GSA board, hopefully in October. And then it could come back to you all in November or December for your direction. And then staff will put it together with some consultant help and get it submitted by the deadline. So that is the game plan. So I'll stop there and just open it up if there's any questions or discussion on specific projects. You know, there is broad support for many of these projects, at least in moving them forward in this next step. So you could also, rather than taking them one by one, your one option would be just to specify which ones you don't want to see move forward, if that's an easier way to tackle the list.
Sure. Yeah. Might I suggest, humbly suggest that we ask questions first, take public comment, and then if we have, projects to add or subtract, perhaps that might be the methodical way of doing it.
Yeah.
But okay. Does that sound reasonable? No,
that's fine. That's great. Fine. My question is in regards to action number 9, surface water supply and recharge. I'm a little confused as to why that would not be moved forward, especially on Sand Creek and Lindo Channel. Now, correct me if I'm wrong, Sand Creek is the area above Rock Creek and Kiefer Slough, is that correct? Where there's possible recharge area? Okay, and the reason I bring this forward is for two reasons. First of all, I think recharge is a huge part of making sure we have a sustainable groundwater supply. And secondly, at our recent board meeting, Butte County Board of Supervisors meeting, we decided not to fund with American Rescue Plan funds a study to do some kind of bifurcation at the Kiefer Slough Rock Creek area, okay? Because we just felt that that was something that those funds should not be used for at this point in time. But what I did say at our meeting is that I would bring it back to this board and possibly suggest a study or a feasibility study be done up there to see if some kind of recharge could be done in that area with the dam or whatever, so that would alleviate flooding downstream in Kiefer Slough and Rock Creek. So I guess my question is, what is the reason that the shack decided 4-5-1 not to include this?
So I'll first just add a little context, and that is that this project is kind of generally described as a surface water supply and recharge project, and then it lists those two examples as potential projects. One is the Sand Creek and one is the Lindo Channel. And Sand Creek I did already pull out as a separate project, and you can see that in 4.2, because it currently has a feasibility study funded by an IRWM grant. Okay. So that one's kind of already pulled. And so because of that, during the shack discussion, I suggested that they specifically discuss the Lindo Channel component. And so that was really the discussion was around that. There was some, and maybe some other staff want to weigh in here too, there was some discussion around the infrastructure needs there. I think maybe the general gist of the project is basically just right now it's a flood control situation, right? Where when water level hits a certain level, it just automatically flows into Lindo Channel. The idea, and there is a kind of concept paper that David's Engineering did and provided to us back in 2015, and I took a look at it this afternoon again. And it's really just the idea of saying, if we can identify what the minimum flow to Big Chico Creek would be and should be, then any amount of water above that, not just flood flows, but any amount of water above that could be passed into Lindo Channel to increase recharge. So as far as the reason, it was a little muddy, the conversation around the Lindo Channel. And I, can other staff provide a direct answer to your question?
Did any of the discussion revolve around the ownership of water that may be recharged into the aquifer? And if that's the case, I would have a hard time understanding that reasoning, because this is floodwaters that are coming out of the foothills. It's not owned by anybody at this point in time. It's a little different than taking water out of Lake Oroville that it's owned by someone already and placing it in the ground. So that's just my input.
Yeah, and to that, on any of the recharge related projects that included, that was always kind of mentioned as a concern and a consideration. That is the legal ownership of the water. But one of the things that the David's Engineering concept paper identified was the need to evaluate kind of the legal side of diverting water differently. So that would certainly need to be part of the project, I think.
Are there any other questions from board members?
I understood the process. We're going to come back to this,
yes,
right?
To discussing. Yes, great. And if that, and again, I think you answered the question. My question was again about legal vetting, but it sounds like you've answered at least on this specific project about legal vetting. And I guess the only other question that I would have, again, in a big picture sense, is we had talked about when we were approving our plan having a menu of options. And so we will ultimately come back and vet, but it was a good idea for us to have a menu of options. At this stage, going to Director Kimmelshue's question at the very start, is it beneficial for us to have a menu of options today that we would then narrow down to the final list? Or today, do you really need an actionable list of options? In other words, a viable semi-finalist list of options, because you are going to devote resources in the next 2 months to it, and then we will do the absolute finalists. Does my question make sense?
I think so, yeah. And Cammy and I talked about this a little bit. We feel like if you looked at this whole list and said, we want more information on all of them, we would do that, and we could do that. I think certainly we don't want to spend time on ones that don't make sense to pursue at this time. So that's really what we want to hear from you, is let's keep that on the menu of options. It's in the GSP, but we're not interested in pursuing it at this time.
So does that make sense? Again, if the objection was to something that got voted down, I'll just type it, just because we were just talking about it now. Got a narrow vote down, but the issue might have just been a legal thing. That might be worth just getting a quick vetting on a legal issue or whatever, and that comes back to us and we finally decide on it. That's might be considered a worthwhile use of our effort. We don't need to decide tonight on that particular issue. You don't need that level of specificity tonight.
Right, if I'm understanding correctly, that's right. But what I would say is, on any of those projects, because we've heard that concern again and again, we would expect it to be a task under the project to evaluate and understand, you know, both the water rights and other aspects of that. And so I would be concerned if we brought you a work plan that didn't have that, you know, just in response to that concern. But we don't need to kind of tackle that detail tonight.
Thank you. Chair
Graydon. Christine, I have a question on with this, back to that Sand Creek being moved to its own line item 4.2. Is the narrative on that then for the scope of work going to be the same narrative that was on the original
That's the reference I have on there, because that's where it's called out in the GSP. But I would say that's kind of a placeholder. Rock Creek is the implementing agency on that, and we would simply just work with you, or you can provide the work plan. You can provide anything you want kind of related to that.
Okay, project. So you don't need that necessarily tonight?
No.
Okay, that's what I was wanting to know. Thank you.
Thank you. Do any other board members have questions of these kind of natures before we open it up for public comment and questions? And then, like I said, we will come back and revisit, and if we need to discuss removing, adding, whatever, another.
Just to clarify really quickly, I had a sense that you guys were wanting us to trim the list as much as possible so that it was manageable for staff as you guys were vetting these out and actually building out the proposal. We're not quite there yet.
I think we're not quite there yet. If Yeah, I mean, if you really, if you as the board say, no, we still want to consider that, but we need more information to be able to trim it in the future, then I think it's worth moving forward. Yep.
Yeah. Right. I guess the sense that I get is if there's something that was a hard and fast no that we absolutely didn't want, then why waste the time? But if there's something we still think should be active, then you know, both boards think that something's viable, keep it viable for now. So that's the sense that I'm getting from you, Christina, correct?
Yeah, I think that's right. I think the other reason it's worthwhile pouring some resources into anything that has some interest is that this isn't the only funding opportunity. So if we spend some time putting more meat on any or all of these, then we can look at other drought funding, IRWM funding, federal funding. You know, it just puts us in a better position.
Thank you. And also, please feel free if any other of the staff members here want to say something. They are precluded from speaking to the at-home audience, but they can come and borrow one of the functional microphones. So, oh, great.
Which I don't, can you hear me out in Zoom land, Raymond Cooper? Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you fine, Kim.
Oh, yes. All right.
I don't know if you guys want me to have a microphone.
We're slowly creeping into the 21st century. All right, so we'd like to open this up to public comment. I will first ask if any of our intrepid in-person folks have anything they would like to say. No? Okay, then we will open it up to the Zoomers. Are there any raised hands on Zoom? I do not see on my screen.
Yes, Jim Brobeck and Pam Stosur.
Okay.
And Jim had his hand up first.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chair. I've got comments on two of the projects. Supervisor Kimmelshue asked about the Lindo Channel. The Lindo Channel, being part of the Army Corps of Engineer flood control project for Chico, already diverts a lot of the floodwaters into the Lindo Channel. And down as it gets closer to the river, it does do what is effectively flood mar. It spreads out into some of the surrounding orchards. So it's already a project that if there is any groundwater recharge happening, this is already happening with the existing flood control project that exists with the Lindo Channel. I just wanted to make that clear. On project 537, groundwater allocation, it was voted down and it's said to be addressed through interbasin coordination and agreements. Failure to undertake a detailed examine of how groundwater allocation has been implemented in other basins does not serve the Vinus subbasin effort to equitably manage our shared aquifer. Dr. Green, my colleague on the Stakeholder Advisory Committee, mentioned during the discussion that groundwater allocation is critical and is a last hope before the state takes over if groundwater levels get below the MTs, and that if groundwater allocation doesn't happen, then he thinks that we are heading into a San Joaquin Basin type situation. He thinks that it has to be at the forefront of our strategy. I imagine that there were so many no votes to include this project because no one wants to have the amount of water they pull out of the ground restricted. But as demand outpaces supply, we're going to have to determine how much groundwater is pulled from the shared aquifer system and who gets to pull it. Who is allowed to pump will inevitably be decided through interbasin agreements or adjudication. Experimental recharge projects might give some well-placed pumpers a legal advantage in claiming water allocations. We're not wise to ignore the intricate legal and hydrologic challenges that other regions have had to address by understanding the reality of groundwater allocation as a strategic tool that will inevitably be put to use in the North Sac Valley River Corridor Basin. Thanks so much for taking my comment.
Thank you. Pam Stosur.
Yes, good evening. First, I just want to applaud Jim Brobeck for his eloquent way of getting into the details of these concerns, because I certainly can't express myself that well. But I just have a question about when you start voting on this list of projects and when you decide not to bring a project forward. If you, for the benefit of the public, people like me and people that are listening in, if you could, when you don't bring something forward, or even if you do bring something forward, is there going to be a comment as to why? So we can, you know, kind of understand what's going on with your, with how you're voting. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
There's also Susan Schrader. His hand is up as well.
Oh, great, thank you. Susan Schrader.
I'm gonna unmute, there we go. And you know, this might not be appropriate to talk about here, but with all of this talk about, you know, developing like Valley Edge and doing this, how does that tie into all our groundwater planning here and concerns? Have those kind of projects been incorporated into these considerations?
Great. Is that the extent of your question?
I guess so. I just want to know, is any, you know,
No, thank you. I just wanted to make sure before I turned over to staff to answer your question, which I know they have a quick answer to. I just wanted to make sure that I'd given you the extent. Thank you so much for your question. Great. Christina, the latter question would be the quick one for you to answer.
Yeah, and that is residential conservation is a project in the plan, as is landscape ordinance. And in terms of residential conservation, those are typically rebate programs that Cal Water and others do, and those are not eligible for this particular funding opportunity. So that's why it's been pulled off the list. The landscape ordinance is really kind of in the realm of City of Chico and Butte County, but it's something that we don't need funding for at this time either.
Because I heard, I mean, and I don't know if it's accurate, but I heard that they were Valley's Edge project was going to be like wells. Everybody was going to be on a well out there. Is that true?
Well, we are actually not, our agency isn't developing that. That's a project that's under consideration through the City of Chico. So that's
okay, so that has to be addressed.
Check through the City of Chico and go look on their planning site. And then you can double check on what their environmental impact report is, because again, that's an element of an environmental impact report. That's what a former planning commissioner can give you a little bit of insight on, but I'm not familiar with all the ins and outs of that project. So Christina gave you what she can give you. So,
all right, thank you.
Sure, thank you so much. And quickly to Pam Stosur's question, board members have the privilege or the to either explain their votes or not explain their votes. And so members of the public can hear the deliberations. That certainly is a public decision. And Christina gave the timeline of when that decision is going to be made. And we'll keep that updated, and that'll be on the agenda. So just to respond to that. Are there any other public comments?
I don't see any other hands raised.
Great, then we will return, we'll end the public comment and return to our boards. Are there any projects that people would like to discuss individually, either to remove, add projects, or?
I just have one question. I probably should know this, so I apologize for not knowing the definition of groundwater allocation. So can somebody give me a thumbnail explanation of what groundwater allocation means, especially in this context?
So that's described as a management action in the plan, and it's really quantifying how much water each user could use. So on a per acre basis, on a per year basis, and really allocating that.
So right now, groundwater is a public resource that anybody can use, and there's no allocation to it at this point in time. Is that correct?
That's correct.
And no amount of water that one individual person or entity is allowed to draw out of the ground. Is that correct?
Right. It's not in this subbasin. It's not regulated that way.
No, regulated or monitored, basically.
Correct.
Okay,
yeah.
Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. So, are there any before we start entertaining motions or anything, I just want to make sure there's been adequate opportunity for both boards. Chair Crane has been kind enough to call me the traffic cop and allow me to, on behalf of both boards, kind of moderate the discussion, if you will. So I just want to make sure that there are No comments, but, and for our board members at home.
So which list are we going off of the,
That was my question I was leading to as well.
List with rows 1 through 28, which it sounds like 17 through 28 would be the discussion points.
Is that attachment 1 C?
Through 13 on the next one.
Which attachment are you referring
to? I'm looking at A and B.
Okay, I was on C, so.
Christina, again, ultimately we could decide, but which list would be beneficial for you for to have us operate off of?
So I think list attachment C, which I have up here, is kind of the most digested version of list. Really, everything should have been resorted and put in this one.
Yeah, so C like Christina, as opposed to B like Buck, correct?
That's correct. But okay. As you said, at your will.
So a question on this attachment C, what's the significance of the items that are in gray?
Yeah, so I tried to carry over. There were gray items on attachment A, that first list.
Okay.
And those gray items were activities or projects that were either listed as planned projects in the GSP, or their compliance activities like annual reports monitoring, or their implementation activities that the GSP basically says we are going to do. Okay. So those gray things got brought over onto this list.
Okay. And then, so the... then the shack, obviously there's several of them in white, the shack had determined to include. So that's the shack recommendation is the status coming from shack on what the discussion is on what the board is wanting to move forward, correct?
Correct. And I'll just add to that, the shack discussed that first list. And so they discussed it in kind of three parts. The gray they talked about as a whole, and that was staff's recommendation that those things should be included. And so they kind of accepted that. And so that's why you see that populated through. And then the white is what they really spent time voting individually on. And the details are in attachment B.
So maybe we do this approach. I would like for us to specifically discuss items 4.5, 11, and 12. And maybe we just have everybody talk about whichever ones, everything else on here, I'm inclined to agree with what I'm reading off of attachments A, B, and C. But those are the three that I think we should have specific conversations around.
Great.
From my perspective.
Is there any, are there any other, or is there any other item that folks would like to discuss besides 4.5, 11, and 12? From attachment C?
Only in that 4.2 needs to be included in that, because if there's a change of path on 4.5, that would impact 4.2.
Okay. Great. And I just want to make sure, because I have the chart up on my screen and I can't see all of the people at home. Is there anything up from either of the board members at home? I'm sorry, any of the three board members at home? I just want to make sure we're not in excluding our home board members.
No, I'm good. Thanks for asking, Evan.
Absolutely. Thank you.
Yeah, none for me either. Thank you.
Great.
I'm good also.
Wonderful. Thank you so much. Okay. So, Chair Royer, since you are the initiator, I mean that in a positive way, please, if there was something in particular you wanted to discuss about 4.5, and then we'll see how it dovetails with 4.2.
Well, I think 4.2 and 4.5, to Chair Crane's observation, I think they do belong together. They're off of the same section of our plan, which is 5.2.4.8, surface water supply and recharge. I went back and did watch the video of the conversation that occurred with the shack, and it, you know, Dr. Green commented that using Lindo, somehow they tunneled in on Lindo instead of the overall conversation of surface water supply and recharge. And I think they got kind of caught up in that. So I'm not sure quite how to interpret a 4-5 vote. To me, it's not a clear one way or the other from our advisory committee. Dr. Green commented about how Lindo was an excellent natural recharge facility. And I understand from
some of the conversations that occurred that DWR had been meaning to do some repair work and cleanup work of the channel and improvement work. So I, from my perspective, I don't see a clear no from our advisory committee, and I think that the whole thing needs to be in as 5.2.4.8, and we should be exploring this.
I would add to that that if you read the first sentence on the paragraph 5.2.4.8, I'm sorry, the second paragraph says the following are examples of potential projects in the Vina subbasin. So it's mentioning those two as potential. It's not limiting to those two. So I too listened to the SHAC meeting. It was focused just on the one project having to do with the channel. So I share in the sentiment that it's not limited just to that. And the Sand Creek project, it could be pulled out. It's likely, in my opinion, the most shovel-ready project moving forward because we've already got a feasibility study in process. So given that, I would concur that it definitely needs to be in consideration.
I would also concur to those two comments.
My observation is that breaking them out into two separate things, because there are differences, at least on the superficial level, makes sense. And because we had the discussion that prefaced this conversation that we can, especially for now, I'll call them semifinalists, keep both as semifinalists and explore issues. Having them separate means that if we find that we decide that we get more information about Lindo Channel separated out, that makes us want to pull it out, it makes it easier to do so. So we're not committing to either of them now. So I would suggest that we keep them both for now, certainly as semifinalists, and then explore them later when we have that more information.
And the number one objection I heard through the whole conversation was the legal ramifications of ownership of the water that's being recharged. And that to me is just a sweeping issue across all of them. So whether we keep them itemized as two separate things, but right next to each other so that the overlapping work is done, that's fine with me.
And legal,
I don't want to bench one of them at this stage. I think that's premature.
Yeah. And I'm very fascinated about the legal. And I'm wondering what types of decisions may have been made in the interim since we came up with our plan, et cetera. So I think that's going to be a very key factor. So, yes. Are there any other comments about these two?
So do we need a motion to include that or just, okay, not yet.
Yeah, I don't think so. Not
we'll
yet,
take
no.
A motion at the end to include all. Thank you.
Exactly, thank you. And then it's only if 11 and 12 that changes. I have an idea that we may end up doing in toto or amend as we see. So 11, you had a comment.
Wait, Chair.
Oh, I'm sorry, please.
May I add, Supervisor Kimmelshue had, or Board Member Kimmelshue, you're whatever you are today. You had mentioned Todd mentioned the project that the board had considered yesterday for ARPA funding. And I would say that project would probably be a potential to fit under this category if you wanted us to explore that further.
That's exactly what I want you to do. Yes.
Okay, great. I figured we'd explore these and then he might
hopefully
want to say,
that's fine. Everybody great. Understands my sloppy way of mentioning what that it was. So thank you. Okay.
My question, just so my brain works a little bit better, I'll call you Supervisor Kimmelshue in this moment because of that. How does that dovetail with what Chair Crane described as already underway with what they're thinking about Sand Creek? Is the Kiefer Slough element radically different than what they are exploring? And forgive my
ignorance. I'm not sure that it is, and I wasn't aware that there was already a feasibility study going on with that. Chair Crane, you can maybe... We were more concerned about flood waters in that area. And if we can contain the flood waters in some kind of basin or something to have a recharge into Sand Creek, that may alleviate the flooding. That's the only thing I was going for.
So the scope of the Sand Creek project, as far as the Reclamation District is concerned, is very limited. Small grant of about $135,000. And a lot of the focus is on potential infiltration zones. So it's a small component of a much larger project. So I don't know if that answers your questions, but they're not in competition. They're synergistic with each other, of which what is underway is the first steps of looking at potential recharge areas that would dovetail nicely into the balance of a project potentially.
Great, and I congratulate Rock Creek Reclamation District for initiating that study. Thank you. And this, anything else we can do to dovetail? Along with that, the GSA helping Rock Creek Reclamation District with that feasibility study, I would.
Yeah, so essentially what the project that was discussed yesterday with the Board of Supervisors, as some of you may know, that the county has a feasibility study, flood study for the community of Nord to prevent flooding. And in that study, some of the results are showing that there are multiple projects or mitigation ways to mitigate some of that flooding, but they're not cost effective. One of the projects is the bifurcation project, which is on Kiefer Slough and Rock Creek. And even if that project is implemented, which is relatively affordable, it would not alleviate the flood issues downstream. So the thought is to look at additional potential, I'll say, slowing the flow of waters down Kiefer Slough and Rock Creek, and looking at potential retaining the waters upstream and slowing the flow, and then hopefully work either to look at the bifurcation project in conjunction with that, as well as collaborating with Rock Creek and their project. So hopefully incrementally through recharge, slowing flows, retaining waters, and potential flood prevention projects, we could alleviate issues with the community of Nord, but then also meet some of the goals of the GSA.
Very well done. Very well.
And to add to that, it would be multi-benefit pretty much on every level you can think of. Yeah.
So for the purpose of what the exercise that we are in right now, would combining Supervisor Kimmelshue's proposal and the item that we have here as item 4.2 be beneficial, or would treating them as separate initiatives
be separate tasks? Right. Would be good. Perfect. That way, Sand Creek and Rock Creek can have their project. If we do look at Lido Channel further, that's another task. And then
the bifurcation is another task.
Bifurcation, Rock Creek, Kiefer Slough, recharge, surface water recharge, and whatever we want to call it, multi-benefit project.
Great. So it sounds like you would, if you make a motion, you would propose adding that onto C. That might be your motion.
Yes, I would appreciate that happening. If everybody, did that make sense to you too, Christina? Okay, thank you.
Great, thank you. And then we'll continue on now with the assessment of the list here. We had item 11 on attachment C.
So I listened to the conversation on this one as well, and I think it carried right into it. I'm not quite sure I understand exactly how removal of invasive species, I guess I'm not getting this one. I was hoping staff might walk us through the logic. I mean, are we going to the state to request funds to fund a department at Chico State that's removing invasive species under a groundwater banner? I mean, and I'm not trying to be flippant here. I'm sure there's a logical reason. I'm just not completely getting it.
Well, I'll start, and then Christina can add, because she did a really great job of explaining it to the shack. So some projects or some project proponents, just like everybody, are looking for ways for funding various projects. So essentially Chico State would be the entity that is proposing this project. So they have requested that they be included, or their project be included in a potential SGMA funded project, essentially. So.
And I'll just add to that. So this is actually, I had CSUC on here, but it's actually Big Chico Creek Ecological Reserve, which is a nonprofit separate from the university. So not entirely accurate there. So, and I did meet with them after the SHAC meeting to better understand their project and see if they are interested in funding and where things are at. And so really they acquired a new property about a year and a half ago, and their focus is really to monitor conditions there and understand kind of baseline conditions and then begin to improve or make management changes. And invasive species removal is part of that. So both in terms of understanding how invasive species affect water flow through their system and how removing them would also affect retention or additional flow. So I think there's two ways to think about this. One would be there can be water savings by there are some heavy water invasive species like Orondo and other things. And so it can be a saver for stream recharge or stream flow or things like that. And so thinking about it from the groundwater perspective is really that of just saving water kind of in the subbasin. But it could be a broader project around invasive species removal subbasin wide. And the ecological reserve could be a partner on their land or just throughout the subbasin. They can contract staff, which can be cheaper than consultants and would be willing to work, you know, with us as a project partner. So there's a couple ways to think about how we might move that forward if there's interest in doing so.
And just to clarify too, I think they would be doing the bulk of the work of describing the project, costing out the project and the timeline. So for those that, so not all of it falls on the staff or the consultants that we would hire. So,
so if we're keeping it on here, it's minimal impact to our right. team. They need to show up with an appropriate proposal right. that we, okay. Thank you. That makes me feel a little better.
Are there any other questions? Ooh, that's okay.
Is he online? Actually, I told him about this meeting. I don't know if, anyway.
I'm not seeing.
I understand the explanation and it sounds, I mean, along lines, we've talked about Cal Water doing a residential water conservation. That wasn't something that our agency would do. And it may not have been the biggest item on our checklist, but it does potentially do something for us. So that's, again, that's the analogy that sounds, that I'm hearing anyway. Perfect, thank you. And I don't see any other questions from our board members. So number 12, please. Groundwater allocation, which we started to have the conversation about and it's item number 12.
Yeah, so it's interesting. This one keeps coming up and it seems like, you know, we're in a tough situation right now with an extended drought and everybody's flipping to, hey, allocations is going to be the only solution. And I understand that sentiment. I understand that reaction. I just wanted to remind everybody the specific language in our plan, because I listened to the conversation on this as well this afternoon, and Mr. Brobeck very eloquently reminded that Dr. Green had stated that this was one of the last things that we were able to do before the state came in and took over our plan, which is exactly what our plan contemplates. And it is something that is intended to be a last resort. The SHAC voted against it originally. We put it in on the advice of council and it keeps coming up and I understand that it will keep coming up and we do need to keep talking about it. But this is a last resort item that is contemplated for if we aren't achieving our sustainability goals by 2042, 20 years out. And obviously if we start getting in, seeing some serious declines and approaching MTs, obviously it's earlier than 2042, but I'm glad to see that the consensus majority on it was not to include this right now.
I would ask Christina, for groundwater allocation, again, this is the sort of the amateur guy question. What will we actually need to suss out for groundwater allocations in a project? Is it the case of what would it cost to put smart meters on places? What are the legal ramifications? Would we get people so angry they would come out with pitchforks so we have to buy shields? The last one being a joke. But some of the other ones I can, I understand very clearly what we need to suss out because there are so many unknowns. I'm wondering what are the unknowns that we would need to study on groundwater allocations, regardless of whether we consider their merits or whether we consider it something we're considering for 5 years or 20 years. Does my question make sense?
Yeah, I think so. So, I mean, the scope of what would need to be done to pursue a groundwater allocation as a management action would really be the technical work to identify what the allocation is, right? We talked quite a bit about the sustainable yield and defining that in the plan. But when you're putting it into a regulatory allocation, we're gonna have to do some more technical work to figure out what that number is. And then how you implement the program, how you monitor, are you, and other parts of the state or sub-basins are doing that in terms of either you're, you know, measuring extraction on the wellhead or maybe using satellite data and targeting it to our actually consumptive use and using satellite data for that. So there's a number of ways that you could implement a groundwater allocation program, and the funding would help figure out all those questions.
So if we kept it on the list now, would there be, you know, again, as a semi-finalist, would there be work that would be done in conjunction with other projects that we do, and thus there would be some benefit, you know, in this early phase? Or would, again, this be a separate effort that we would be asking you to do over the next 3 months?
Yeah, I think it's pretty distinct. Yeah, it would be separate. There's not a lot of overlap in terms of framing that up with the other projects.
Okay. So the piece of this that I was really relieved to see in here is the interbasin coordination aspect of it. We can go draconian and implement all sorts of allocation rules, but if it's getting sucked out from underneath us by neighboring basins, that's a much bigger problem. What are your thoughts in terms of the interbasin piece and how that's going to progress?
Yeah, that's a great question. I mean, I think I put in those kind of two sub bullets, but that obviously needs a lot more. So I think this will be a topic that warrants maybe specific discussion by the boards, certainly a specific discussion by the SHAC. With any of these, I think it's always helpful to edit something than to just create something in a meeting. So I would anticipate that we'll do some brainstorming with consultants and even with other staff, potentially of our neighboring sub-basins, that bring something that the SHAC can provide input onto, or a specific working group and then the boards. So not a lot of detail right now, but that's kind of the nature of the process.
Supervisor Kimmelshue, did you have a director Kimmelshue?
I would say I concur with Vice Chair Royer that we need to exhaust all interbasin coordination conversations, agreements, before we ever go to any kind of groundwater allocation. I mean, that's just, it is truly is, in my estimation, a draconian effort at that point in time. So we need to work with our neighboring GSAs and sub-basins and try to come up with some agreements before we ever even consider that. In saying that, I would move approval as recommended by the SHAC, with the exception of 4.5, and we leave that we include 4.5, but separate it out by area. Does that make sense?
Separate it out by the projects that have been identified?
Yes, okay. By projects. Mm-hmm. So that would be my motion for the Vina sub-basin, the Vina GSA, excuse me.
And may I clarify, you had earlier expressed that you wanted to include, to add a project.
Yeah, that would be a subsection under that project, the Sand Creek project. Yes.
Great. That's why I just wanted to clarify. So we're doing, just to be clear, we're doing the Vina GSA. You've made a motion for the Vina GSA board. Mm-hmm. So we'll do that, and then I'll turn over to
Tammy. Did that make sense?
Yes.
I mean, I want to add in the
multi-benefit project. We'll just call it the Rock Creek.
Yeah, would you call it the multi
benefit project?
I like that. Thank you.
Is there a second on that motion from our board?
Second.
Great. Is there since we do have joint meetings, I'd like to give Chair Crane.
Okay, I just so I have clarification on what this will look like. Does that mean that 4.2 then? So does 4.2 go away in that, and it reverts back to the way that it is on 5.2.4.8? I'm sorry, I should keep consistent with the, in column A, 4.5 would be reinstalled and we'd remove 4.2? Is that what we're doing? Is that the motion?
If that still makes sure that we are studying the Sand Creek project, that would be fine.
Yeah, do you
think, a priority.
Christina, we can just put it, like all of those recharge kind of projects under 4.5?
Yeah, I would say if there's support for all of those under four, then what we would do is put our heads together and see what makes sense in terms of feasibility studies for water supply or recharge or an implementable project. And we'll kind of bring that.
Okay, so back. I have a question on that. Just from the simple fact that the Sand Creek project is somewhat more well-defined. We have the flood study, bifurcation potential, whereas the balance of those are just completely conceptual and don't even exist, some of them yet. So does that cause any problems on the grant writing? Would it be more fluid and easier to maybe have the Sand Creek one separate, like 4.2, and then keep 4.5 as is, but not with the Sand Creek there? Because like I say, the Sand Creek's,
I think that's why I pulled it out that way. Yeah, because the implementing agency may be different too, right? Like,
yes,
exactly. So I think keeping them separate.
I would ask Director Kimmelshue, does that make sense? Does that fit in?
I would change my motion or amend my own motion to include, to keep Sand Creek phase two implementation separate from 4.5, and in under 4.5, possibly list the multi-benefit or with the proposal. Or is that confusing, or should that be with the Sand Creek?
That's different. I think it's fine. Right. I think what we'll do is we'll probably go through the list, identify things that are more implementable and more, and then projects that are more feasibility study and anything in between, and just differentiate them.
Does that make sense to everyone? Mm-hmm.
But yeah, they should be grouped together so, because they're all from the same section.
There's like an umbrella, right. Yeah.
With
like
the exception of Sand Creek project.
Yeah, but it's still big.
Right. Yeah.
One, two.
And that's, to be honest, that's why I asked you, because your motion was, again, we don't have a parliamentarian per se, but your motion was to include 4.2 and include 4.5. And that's why I asked you if you wanted to add a project, and you added a project. That was your motion. So in a way, that's really what we're doing here. So is adding your project on.
Correct.
However they decide to organize it typographically, we aren't lumping. And I believe that was what Chair Crane's concern was. There was that, in a way, it could have been confused that we were lumping 4.2 and 4.5. So is that clear? I just want to make sure the intent of your motion is clear.
Very clear.
To you and to the person who seconded it.
Thank you. Okay.
Great. Now, is there any further discussion that you would like to have before we consider our motion?
Okay, but was the motion complete then? The balance of what the SHAC recommendations were then would stay in place.
Yes.
Because 12 groundwater allocation says do not include. That is the do not include. So that would not be
included.
Correct. So that's the motion.
Okay. Are there any questions from anybody on the Rock Creek board? Any questions or comments? Cammie, is there anything online? Okay.
No.
Yeah, so, we concluded the public.
Yeah, and after
hearing.
we'll turn to
vote on whatever motion you want to do. I just want to make sure we're on.
And after we vote, I want to ask a quick question in regards to implementation. Thank you.
Okay, great. Thank you. So with that, and I just want to make sure, Director Cooper at home, do you have any questions or any comments before we vote?
Nope, I'm good. Ready to vote.
Okay, great. I'll ask Cammie to conduct it unless she wants to hand the microphone over to Linda. Oh, okay. Linda gets to speak on the mic. So please roll call vote.
Okay, sorry about that. Board Member Cooper?
Aye.
Board Member Kimmelshue?
Aye.
Vice Chair Rohrer?
Aye.
And Chair Chasinski?
Aye.
4-2-1.
Yep.
4-0.
4-0 with one absence is how we vote to advance these semifinalists. And I will now turn over to Chair Crane for his board.
Okay, I'd already asked if there was further discussion. So I'm interested in potentially entertaining a motion.
Yeah, I'll make a motion that we adopt the same language as Todd Kimmelshue just made his motion. We're going to mirror his motion over here on the Vina GSA. we're going to accept the Shack's recommendations and add 4.5. That's a deal, right? Yep. So that's my...
And the additional
project. And the additional project. Yep, excuse me.
Perfect. We have a motion.
Yep. And a second.
I'll second that from John.
Okay, we have a motion from Vice Chair Rice, and we've already got a second from Trustee Payne. Any further discussion? Okay, I'll do the roll call. Let's see, Vice Chair Rice.
Aye.
Trustee Bentz.
Aye.
Trustee Levy.
Aye.
Trustee McGowan. Trustee Paiva.
Aye.
Chair Crane votes aye. Motion carries.
Great, thank you. And I heard from Director Kimmelshue that he had a question.
Just a quick question. We do not have our plan approved yet. Maybe 2 years before we have a plan approved. What is the procedure? Can we still move forward with these projects and request funding for those without having an approved plan? Is that, that's correct? You can. Yeah, okay. Yes. Thank you. That's all I need to know. Thank you.
Yes, we can.
Yeah.
Great. Thank you so much. And we will now move on to the next item on the agenda, which will be much more clear when I put my glasses on. Item 5 is communications and reports. Item 5.1, the Butte County Public Health Department quarterly well permit summary. And I believe we are going to get that from Cami Loser.
All right, thank you, Chair Tuchinski. So in your packet, you have, we did provide that in there, right? We provided with to you the Division of Environmental Health's well permit summary. And what the Environmental Health provides a quarterly summary to the Board of Supervisors. And so we just included that in your packet, particularly with regard to executive on the last page of that executive order, the executive order data, which shows how many well permits have been processed under the executive order by GSA, by Subbasin, as well as by GSA. So it's the very last page of your packet.
I'm just giving folks a moment to read it in case they hadn't gotten a chance to see that before.
And the rest of the information is just how many small diameter wells, large diameter wells, well repairs or deepening data, just for the county in general.
Great. And because it's not up on the screen, I'll just quickly read it. The cumulative number of wells under Executive Order N-7-22 in the Vina GSA, one small diameter, two large diameters for a total of 3. And see, it says by GSA. Yep, that's the same thing. So great. Are there any questions from either of the boards on this report? Seeing none, are there any questions or comments from the public? I am seeing none in the room. I am seeing no raised hands. Are you seeing any?
There's no raised hands.
There's no raised hands. Okay, great. Cami, are there any other announcements from staff?
I do not think so.
Okay, then with that, I will adjourn this joint meeting to the regular Vina GSA board meeting of September 14th at 5:30, unless otherwise announced. And thank you to everybody for your participation.
Great, thank you. And thank you for everyone online for being patient with us.
Yeah.